fit in the manse. That's it. Paul, what a blessing. Thank you.
Everyone hopes for a special time on their honeymoon. And when Barbara and I got married, we chose a romantic location in the Cotswolds near Oxford. We picked an attractive looking cottage on a remote farm. Everything looked perfect. But the moment we walked through the door, we noticed something was very, very wrong. There was an evil presence in the house that was very tangible. We were both gripped with a cold fear. Something was very nasty, opposed to us as we entered the place. It was a very tough holiday, to say the least. We were both very exhausted leading up to the wedding day. Barbara had been doing two jobs. I just finished a very intensive degree course. And the honeymoon was hardly the relaxing time we planned. I became mysteriously ill in the cottage, so much so we ended up in the local A&E hospital. The hospital sent us home, but we ended up in the cottage fasting and praying, trying to resist the malevolent, evil, spiritual opposition. So instead of feasting and relaxing as we hoped, we ended up with a rather unusual way of spending our honeymoon, fasting and praying. We started out our marriage with some serious spiritual opposition. The Bible reveals a view of the world that describes the reality in which we live as made up of a physical world that we perceive with our five senses, plus a spiritual world behind the scenes that interacts with the world we see around us. The spiritual world of God, the Holy Spirit, angels, demons, the devil, unseen, but more real, in that the spiritual world is eternal and the spiritual world influences and has an impact on the world, the material world that we see and touch. If you're new to the Christian faith, the Bible described the world in which we live as a place of conflict, primarily a spiritual conflict that spills over and affects the physical world. Conflict or opposition is our theme today. And to help us explore that theme, we've been looking together on Sunday mornings at a book of the Bible called Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a historical book written by a Jewish leader in exile from his historical home of Israel. Nehemiah felt that God put in his heart a passion to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem that had previously been destroyed by the Babylonians 150 years before. But from the moment that Nehemiah started to rebuild the walls of the city to the time that he completed them, he faced continued opposition from the enemies of the Jewish people. One of the mega themes of the book of Nehemiah is that of opposition. Time and time again, attempts were made to intimidate him, to bully him, to strike fear into his heart, to ridicule him, to undermine him, to trick him, to shame this man Nehemiah, to prevent him completing the job that God had given him to do. Now, the intensity of the opposition he faced would have made many people crumble and collapse under the strain. He was a remarkable man. I believe we can learn much from the story of Nehemiah. The Apostle Paul writes to us in the book of Romans. In Romans 15 and verse 4, we read this. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Paul was saying that the Old Testament is there, was written. Something was written there to help us understand. The reason this morning, one of the reasons that we go back and look at the Old Testament is that we've got lots to learn. As we look at Nehemiah, we can learn. God can help us. God can teach us. So this morning, as we focus on these things, I pray that God's going to help us, teach us, help us to learn some things from what happened to Nehemiah. See, Nehemiah faced opposition. We faced opposition. He faced opposition to doing God's will, carrying out God's plans thousands of years ago, thousands of miles away, in rebuilding those walls of Jerusalem. Our opposition is to doing God's will whilst living here in London, right here, right now. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've called each of us to live here in London, to do your work. And Lord, as we live here, Lord, we're aware that it's not easy, that we face opposition. There are things against us, things that make it hard, things that make it tricky, things that make living here in London not an easy thing. And Lord, we're coming today asking, would you help us? Would you equip us? Would you open our eyes? Would you today teach us? Lord, thank you for what we're reading today in the book of Nehemiah. And we thank you that you're the God who opens our eyes, who equips us, who teaches us. Holy Spirit, we're asking this morning, would you come and work amongst us? Would you equip us by your Spirit that this morning we would be able to leave this place equipped better to face the opposition that each of us faces whilst we're living, working here in London. Holy Spirit, come this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you know that I've been very ill and I'm getting better. I've recovered amazingly from a mental breakdown lasting 4 years. It's a long story. My testimony is of a miraculous healing last Easter. I'm going to tell more of my story on another occasion. But one aspect of my story, which is relevant this morning, is that whilst in one of the darkest times of my struggle, I had a dream from God. Now, I don't get many dreams from God. I wish I got more. You may get more dreams from God, but I get very rarely have I had a dream from God. As soon as I had this dream, it was the middle of the night, I woke up and I knew it was God speaking to me. I just knew that this was God. I knew it wasn't my own thoughts. I knew it wasn't the cheese and pickle sandwich that I had the night before. I knew it wasn't the devil speaking. I knew this was God speaking. God had my attention straight away. It was a very simple dream. It was an image that God gave me. It was the image of an insect. I think it's a very strange thing to have. But it was an image of an insect called a hornet. A hornet is, here's a picture of a hornet. A hornet is an image. A hornet is an insect of the Hymenoptera class, if you're interested in insects. It belongs to the class of insects, the bees, the wasps, the hornet. And so it's like a very big wasp. They're very dangerous insects. They're aggressive. They're bullies. They go and attack other insects. As soon as I saw it, I knew what it was. I knew it wasn't a wasp. I knew it wasn't a bee. I knew what it was. As soon as I saw this insect in my dream, I knew it was a hornet. The thing about the hornet that was significant was that it was dead. It was very dead. Now, these insects, a sting from these insects is very, very nasty. A sting, some species, there are many species of hornet, and some stings of these insects can be fatal, particularly in Southeast Asia. Parts of Japan, some of these insects, stings for these insects can be fatal. People die every year from stings from hornets. In my dream, I saw that this insect was so dead, it was dry and it was dusty. So it wasn't particularly, it was more curled up than this, the image. It was so dead, it was dead, dead, dead. Now I'm going to explain a bit more. Can you just hold the insect, an image in your mind of a dead hornet? So I hold it there. Have you got it in your mind? This insect, dead hornet. Hold it there because it's important. I'm going to come back to it in a moment. Because I want for a moment to take a bit of a detour. We're going to look at a little bit at Nehemiah. So hold park in your mind this dead hornet for a moment. We're going to come back to it because it's important. I want to back up a minute and we're going to look at Nehemiah's attitude to the opposition he faced before I link it back to the dead hornet. Be patient with me. Be patient for this journey. It's worth it, okay? It's worth it. You might think I'll get a cup of coffee while he goes on. No, no, no. It'll be worth it. Right, okay. Over the past 8 Sunday mornings, we've been learning about Nehemiah. We've heard about him rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and we've been impressed by his character. Nehemiah, we've learned, is a man of prayer who knew his God. He trusted in his God. He had a big view of God. His heart was filled with the greatness of God. His God was bigger in his eyes than the enemies that came against him. His God was a victorious God who would prevail when anything came against him. His attitude and his heart was big. Even when things came, even when setbacks, when things came against him, his attitude was, God is great, God is big. The man in our story today, Nehemiah, knew that God was so much bigger and greater than anything that came against him. So when opponents came, he didn't crumble because God was big. It was a big God. I want to just look at a verse just to show that in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 20. His enemies came to ridicule him. His enemies came against him. As you go through, I'm not going to do it this morning because it goes on and on and on, but it's a real worthwhile thing to do. It's just go through the book of Nehemiah, the whole book, and just to see again and again and again, his enemies came to him not once, not twice, not 3 times, not 4 times. The enemies came against him again and again, relentlessly. The enemies came against Nehemiah once and twice and 3 times and 4 times, ridicule, undermine. Trying to drag him down every time. Listen to what he says in Nehemiah 2 verse 20. The enemies came to mock him and ridicule him on this occasion. I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. So when they came against him with this mocking, ridiculing, his heart was confident in his God. The way he retorted, the way he came against them was, the way he retorted to them was one of confidence. And then 2 chapters later, they came, and this time they came, they threatened to kill him. So they kind of ramped up the ante. In chapter 4 and verse 20, they came to threaten to kill him. And at this point, his co-workers, the people who are working with him, this point, they were whinging and saying, we want to give up. They were discouraged. They were ready to throw in the towel. And this is what he says to encourage his co-workers. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 20. Our God will fight for us. His heart was still full of faith. Nehemiah was a man of character. He knew his God. He knew his God was a big God, was a great God, was a God who would fight and would help them overcome the opposition. So summing up the past 8 weeks, I want us to see Nehemiah was a man of faith. He was a man of great character and a man of faith. But this morning I want us to see that we have a great advantage over Nehemiah. We're in a stronger position this morning than Nehemiah. See, Nehemiah was an Old Testament believer, whereas we've got the advantage of knowing the fuller revelation, of course, of Jesus' death and resurrection. So now back to my dream of the dead hornet. See, when I saw that, as soon as I saw this image of the dead hornet, I knew that God was speaking to me through this picture of a dead insect about the victory. Just in that instant I saw it, I knew God was speaking to me about the victory of Jesus over the devil. Even though I was very ill, God spoke to me about something I knew to be true from the Bible. God was reminding me at the beginning of the Bible, Jesus introduced to someone who would be born from a special woman and would be the one to defeat the devil. Jesus introduced and mentioned in the Garden of Eden, when God speaks to the serpent as part of the judgment on the serpent, who is the embodiment of the devil. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 is this. This is the judgment that Jesus, that God gives to the devil. In Genesis 3 verse 15, says this. God's judgment on the devil is this. He will crush your head. And this is God's judgment on the serpent. He, talking about Jesus, will crush your head. This is God looking ahead. God looking ahead to the cross, where he, Jesus, will crush your, the serpent's head. An incredible, incredible, right at the beginning, when everything goes wrong there in the Garden of Eden, right at the beginning when Adam and Eve, the whole thing goes wrong, the cross is introduced right at the beginning. And there, right, well, when all, the whole thing falls apart, the cross is introduced. As God looks ahead, the solution is introduced. Where there's going to be a time where Jesus, the seed of the woman, this man, this Messiah, this one that's going to be born of the woman, is going to come, and he's going to crush the serpent, the devil's head. And I just, as I saw that dead wasp, it just was a symbol to me. God spoke to me how the fact that the devil is one who is defeated. Jesus will crush the devil's head. It's a prophecy of the Bible right at the beginning. John the apostle explains the same truth in these words in 1 John 3 verse 8. It says this, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Here, the John's explaining that the reason that Jesus, the Son of God, became flesh, the reason he appeared on earth, the reason he was incarnate, the reason the Son of God came here on earth, the reason he came was to do that, was to crush the devil's head, was to destroy Satan's work. That's the reason he came. And again, then the writer of the Hebrews explains this truth so clearly in Hebrews 2 and verse 14. That through death, this is the context of this passage is explaining the reason Jesus came again. That through death, he, Jesus, might destroy the one that has the power of death, that is the devil. Explaining it so clearly that we would understand the reason Jesus came. It was to destroy the devil. See, the devil is described in the New Testament as a defeated adversary. The cross was a total, complete, utter defeat of the devil. Just as in my dream, the enemy is completely crushed by the victorious Christ Jesus on the cross. Apostle Paul explains it in Colossians 2 verse 15. Jesus, this is in the context of Jesus' work on the cross, he disarmed the rulers and authorities. These are the spiritual powers of darkness. Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities, put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him, in Jesus. As he explains to us the work of the cross, what Jesus accomplished on the cross in disarming the spiritual rulers and authorities. There are two takeaways from today's talk. There are two things I'd really love us to kind of get in our hearts and take away from today's talk. And this is takeaway number one, to really get settled in our heart. And this image of a dead hornet is sums up this thing that Jesus on the cross, one of the things Jesus accomplished so much on the cross in terms of our forgiveness, reconciliation, a whole thing of adoption, and all that Jesus did in cleansing and bring us back to God. But one of the things that Jesus accomplished on the cross was a defeat of the devil, that it was an utter, complete defeat of Satan. And that we could have that really clear. One of the things I've got on my phone is I've downloaded one of these notes apps. I've managed to find about 5 different free notes apps where you can download. And one of them is I've cut and paste These Bible verses I've got here, I've cut and pasted them all about the victory of Jesus over the devil. And so that I can look at them, meditate on them, learn them, pray over them, and get really clear in my heart and mind, so that I'm standing very clear on the fact, so that I know with certainty, and that I live my life knowing that Jesus is the victor. That it's settled, that it's definite, that it's not wobbly. I'm not kind of thinking, oh, I'm not quite sure about this. That it's absolutely settled, and I'm living my life from the position of I know 100%, living out of the truth and reality of this in my heart. That it's a settled thing, that it's definite, that my mind's made up, that I'm living in the reality of it. And that's why I believe that God gave me that dream, that I would get it settled in my heart, that I wouldn't be a wobbly Christian on this particular issue. And so this morning, one of the things I'd really love you to take away is that you too would join me in this, that we would be as individuals settled on this issue, that it is a definite thing, that as far as Scripture's concerned, it is settled. Jesus is the victor. He's won the victory. Absolutely, 100%, that the devil is a defeated foe. That exactly what it says here, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That through death he might destroy the one that has the power of death, that is the devil. That he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame, triumphing over them in him. That we would have that settled in our hearts. That's takeaway number one. Okay, that's not the end of the story. Okay, but that's something I want. Let's get that settled. All right, are we good? Are we good on that? Okay, moving on. Number two. Number two needs a water because I'm drying up. Hang on. Now, soon after I became a Christian, I was a student. I was out on the streets of London. I was with an outreach team, and we were working the streets of London doing an outreach. And I passed by a man who was sat on the floor, and he called me over. He asked for a light for a cigarette, and quick as a flash, he grabbed my arm, held my arm in a tight lock, and I couldn't break free from the lock he had my arm in. Immediately, his voice changed to a different voice. His face changed, and he said, "A voice has just spoken to me and told me you're a Christian." Now, I was a brand new Christian. I was scared, right? I hadn't told him I was a Christian. And before that, he just told me he was in the army, right? So he was telling me he was in the army. He had my arm in a really tight lock. He told me a voice had just spoken to him and told him I'm a Christian. So I was really scared. So I was wriggling, praying, struggling. Something or someone had got hold of that man, and the spirit in him knew who I was. It was evil. It was powerful. That was my welcome to what the apostle Paul calls our fight. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So whilst the devil is defeated on the cross of Jesus Christ, we live in the age between Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming, in the tension between all that Jesus has accomplished on the cross, and yet we don't yet see fully manifest in this world, which is why Jesus taught us to pray, "God, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So whilst the devil is completely defeated, there is still yet work to do on earth in what we pray and what we do in seeing God's kingdom advance and seeing the opposition defeated on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, God's will is perfectly done. And yet on earth, there's a battle going on. Obviously, on a large scale, you just look at the news and we see wars, conflict, and all kinds of evil. on a personal level, we see struggle as we face evil. So like Nehemiah, we face our opposition, but like him, we know our God is bigger, is on our side, and is the victor. Nehemiah had tremendous boldness and faith as he faced his opposition. And so we can take courage because we know we're in our conflict. We're not defenseless. What did Nehemiah tell his workers to do as they faced their opposition? Well, Nehemiah 4, verse 17 to 18 is really helpful. Nehemiah 4, verse 17, he told his workers this. You who are building the wall, those who are building the wall carried the materials and did their work with one hand and held a weapon with the other. Each of the builders also wore a sword at their side as they worked. Now, Bible commentators far cleverer than I have come up with a phrase, a little natty little phrase, a little cute little phrase to kind of summarize this kind of passage here, in that they said that the workers had a sword and a spade, that they had little alliteration there. Tom, you'll like that little alliteration. So our takeaway number two is a sword and a spade. And I've even got for you here, no expense has been spared this morning, right? I've even got a visual aid. Okay, how about that? Okay, get your phones out. I want a picture, right? So the idea of what he's saying there in that passage is that they could, with the spade, they could get on with their work. So they had a job to do. So that each one of the workers, they had a job to do. And their job was rebuilding the wall. But God's called you to be a homemaker, to be a student, to work in an office, to whatever God's called you to do. God's called you to get on and do your job and get on and work hard. But there's going to be times where opposition comes. And so those guys that were building the wall, rather than be defenseless so that when opposition came, they would just be attacked and they wouldn't be able to defend themselves. The idea of what Nehemiah said was give each of those workers a sword. And so they could wear a sword like at their side so that when opposition came, they could get their sword out and that they were equipped to be able to fight. So that they had something that could get on and do their job, but should opposition come, should the enemy come against them, they could put the spade down and they had a sword to be able to fight against the opposition. And Ephesians 6, verse 17 tells us what the sword is, of course. And it's no surprise, we know what the sword is. The Bible tells us that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So the sword of God tells us that the sword of the Spirit, the sword that God gives us, is the Bible itself, used that we can use it actually against the enemy when the enemy comes against us. And so this is a really helpful visual this morning, just to get in our hearts, to remind ourselves, actually God's given us something that we can use to fight against when the enemy comes against us, to protect us. And the great illustration this morning is that of Jesus in the desert. That when Jesus was there and the enemy came against him, three times the enemy came to tempt Jesus. And each time Jesus didn't enter into some kind of conversation. The only thing Jesus did was use the Bible against the enemy. Three scriptures that Jesus quoted. Three times Jesus took out the sword and came against and protected himself. Came and opposed his enemy, came against him. Jesus used three scriptures against the enemy. And so this morning it's a real helpful illustration for us to realize that God's given us the Bible to be able to use it against the enemy. When the enemy comes to attack us, comes to try and drag us down, comes to try and accuse us, comes to try and bring any opposition against us, that God's given us the Bible, that we can take a scripture and we can use it like a sword very specifically, very powerfully, very particularly against the enemy. You know, the Bible, can someone's been through the Bible and estimated there are something like 8,000 promises in the Bible, things we can use against the enemy. I've got, I put just a few particular scriptures, some of my favorite ones. Can we, have you got them there, Peter? Those ones, there, just put, these are just some, you might probably, probably too small for you to see. But some scriptures that I found really helpful, when the enemy comes to attack, just to be able to use these against the enemy. So, for example, so these someone's even just a few days, been the last few days, Psalm 140 verse 7, Sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, you shield my head in the day of battle. Just when something, when a negative thought comes into my head, it's a tremendous verse to be able to use, just to use this as a, as like a sword against the thought, a negative thought that comes, that God, you shield my head, you go around my head, that to be able to use that, to be able to quote it, to be able to imagine it like a sword that I'm using against the enemy as the enemy comes against me, I can block that negative thought, I can push it out. You can almost imagine in the desert, there's Jesus and these accusations of the devil come against him. And it's like Jesus blocks them, pushes them and pushes them out. And he says, and then it says, and the devil left him. And the devil left him. So Jesus, these things came, the devil tried three times and Jesus blocked, 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 and the devil left him. And so the devil comes to us, and sometimes we don't recognize it. We just think it's something negative coming. But I want us to just to realize that opposition that can seem to be just a person being difficult, or a situation that comes that turns nasty in our lives, actually behind it, there can be a spiritual thing happening. There can be some spiritual power. There can be some spiritual situation happening that actually we think it's a person. We think it's just a difficult situation, but actually there can be a spiritual component to it. And so that's where by using one of these verses, by using it like a sword, by praying it, by using it, we can actually find it very effective in stopping a situation that otherwise could get us down and cause us to be defeated. So what I'd like us to do this morning, let's all stand together. As we're finishing this morning, let's just stand. What I'm talking about today is very practical. Can I suggest something that this may not be helpful, it may be helpful. But we've all got mobile phones. And if you've got a mobile phone, it can be it's really helpful, I've found, is to download one of these freebie notes apps. And then to cut and paste some of these verses that are particularly helpful in terms of, like, imagine them each one like a sword. And cut and paste some of these ones or other ones that you find helpful. Ask your friends, what have you found helpful? Cut and paste a whole series of them. And then the thing I find helpful is that in my morning, in the time I spend in my time with God in the morning, is to go through and just see what the Holy Spirit then was equipping me for the day in ones that I read, that I think about, that I pray through. It's like getting your sword out for the day, getting equipped for the day. Like, which ones today am I going to see? Some of the ones here, you can get some that are more positive ones that are like declarations about who we are in Christ. So these are ones, but particularly you can use that are maybe more defensive ones, because with the sword you can attack and sword you can defend. So some scriptures are more ones that are declarations about who we are in Christ, about the fact that we're a new creation, for example. And so we can use those ones to build ourselves up, who we are in Christ, and we can be more affirming about who we are. Use our sword more in that kind of way. Others like these ones are more defensive. Get ready for the day. So by thinking about them, praying over them. I'm getting equipped. I'm getting my sword ready, so I'm ready to face the day. And it's so what I'm trying to do in my own daily times is get one or two or three of these scriptures so I'm equipped, I'm ready, so that when the opposition comes, I'm equipped, ready for that opposition. I'm on the front foot. I'm not caught napping, that I'm ready to be able to go forward and see what the work. So the Holy Spirit's equipping me for the day that lies ahead. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that you, Holy Spirit, that you're leading each of us in our lives in terms of equipping us for the opposition that we face. And Lord, we're all individuals and you're taking us on our own personal journeys. And I thank you for the wisdom that there is here in this room as you're leading us, Lord, in these things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just remain quiet just for a few moments and open our hearts to the Holy Spirit and just let's see what God would say to you individually, personally, about these things. What's the takeaway that God has for you today in these things? It may be God wants to speak to you about your own quiet time, the time you spend with Him. Maybe God's wanting you to do something different, or maybe God's affirming what you're doing already and giving you clarity on it. Maybe the Holy Spirit's giving you understanding, revelation about these things. Does anyone feel anything stirring and anything to share, particularly as we're quiet before God? Maybe you just feel God stirring.
I saw a picture of a roller blind, the idea on this was to be looking at it from the outside of the window. So when the roller blind was rolled up, you know, at the top of the window, you can't see it. But when you pull it down, the person on the outside can see it. And I felt it was the word of God. And I felt that the Bible shut and closed up is not much good. But when you declare the verses, and in part of Revelation, it said that the book of Revelation is to be read out loud. So there's in some places we must speak it out loud. And I felt that when the person declared the word of God out loud, it was like pulling down the roller blind and telling Satan to get lost.
Does anyone else feel stirring that the Holy Spirit's got, wants them to share?
Just was highlighted what Paul said about the honeymoon, where he had this mysterious illness, and you know, with illnesses, so much of it is physical and just this broken world we live in, but with some of them it can be an element of spiritual warfare. So I just want to encourage you, if you're living with something, maybe God wants you to pray about it in that way today, and he's going to give you healing today. He heals all your diseases, as we read in Psalm 103.
Thank you. If you, that'd be great. If you feel as we've been waiting on God that could be you, that there is a sickness that you have that could have some spiritual element, then please at the end today come and Tom would love to pray, Bob, Nick, the elders would love to pray for you. So don't leave this place if you think, yeah, that was me, I'd love some prayer, then please come and get some prayer for that.
I was just really encouraged where Paul shared about, you know, he really had the understanding of God's word being like true, and that it's a done deal, that the devil has been defeated. And listening to this talk today, like, it's a lot about fighting. I teach boxing myself, and so every fighter has a stance. And I want to encourage us today that our stance is on the truth of God's word, it is a done deal. It is finished. Satan has been defeated. Every day, take that stance. That's the stance.
Thank you for your word. This again, word of encouragement, and mention about when we wake up in the morning and how we start our day, our quiet time. First fruits of the day, you've woken up, you've seen a new morning. When you think about people that haven't woken up and how fragile our lives are. So it's just not only the distractions or the things of this world, number one, God, because he's our maker. We're made for him, made by him, made for his glory. So it's just that sense of whatever you do, before you do anything, this is my word, just to say, just give God the first fruits of your day, to ensure that you know that you've given it to him first of all, before anything else comes in the way.
I felt also that some people have maybe let something drop. Maybe you were into praying. Maybe God did give you some words. Maybe you did feel that he called you to something. And then time has passed and things haven't come past as you expected. And you've let them drop. And I just feel that if God is reminding you today, let him encourage those things again, to pick those things up again. And Paul had this picture of the hornet. It was probably more than a year before he actually got better. And we had to hold on to that picture, because that was one of the things that encouraged us that he was one day going to get better and he wasn't going to be like this forever. And often God gives us words and it's seems ages till they come to pass. But he's training us during that time. He's teaching us to fight. He's building our character. And so I just encourage you today, if you've dropped something, let the Holy Spirit put it back in your hand today.
I just wanted to confirm sort of what Paul was saying about the sword being the word of God. And at the end of last week, I read in one of the Psalms about then in their troubles, they called to the Lord and he saved them from their distress. And I thought, oh, that's a really nice verse, isn't it? And then this week, it's just been awful at my work. And it's like you have to put this verse into practice. And I had to call and call and call. And I sat in a room on Friday with about six other people who like we were at a work situation, and they were worried and concerned and everybody's distressed. And in my head, no one could see it. I was decided I had to call on the Lord and I had to put this verse into practice. And God came through in an amazing way, way more than I ever expected or imagined he could. And I just want to say that it works. I mean, it's not like magic, but it works. God's more faithful than magic and more powerful than magic. And I've just been so struck today by this sword. I want to have a sword, and I want to be ready for those things that come each day.
Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you continue to work in these things in our lives. And Lord, we pray for the powerful, Lord, sealing of these the things you're saying, that you would work them deep, deep, deep in our hearts, Lord, that we would walk in them, and that they would be powerful and true and real and ongoing, Lord. Burn them deep in our hearts, we pray this morning. Amen. What if you turn to the person next to you, give them a hug, say hi.